This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome along to the first episode of our new football podcast on the RNIB Connect Radio. Welcome to Down the Line. This is going to be the football show weekly podcast that we're going to be talking all things British football. So we're going to have some contributors from Scottish football and from English football, potentially Wales and Northern Ireland, whatever picks our fancy, and all the big kind of talking points and news stories across the major leagues in the UK. So we're hopefully going to have quite a large pool of contributors, which can obviously bring some great insight to club specific stories, but also stories across the leagues, and obviously big stories from the Premier League, and having a Scottish football bias as well in there too. So yeah, without further ado, I'll introduce you guys to our first guests for episode one, and it might be some voices that you'll be familiar with from our Euros podcast that we did in the summer, and it will be some voices that you can get used to across the next weeks and months as we continue to talk about football on the RNIB Connect Radio. So Andrew, do you want to give yourself a quick introduction?
My name's Andrew, I'm from Essex and I follow Ipswich Town.
Nice one. We got we've also got Billy.
Hi, I'm Billy. I'm from Fife. I follow a few teams. Just followed Celtic since 2000. I've followed Arsenal since 1996. But I'm an East Fife fan. I've got a season ticket with them, and that's the team I do support.
Great, and we've got Macker as well.
Hiya, I'm Macker from Durham. I'm a big Sunderland and Hibs fan. Have a season ticket at both clubs and attend the away matches as well.
Great. So I think the first thing that we can do is get a little bit of even club-specific stories, get some quick insight from an Ipswich and East Fife and a Hibs and Sunderland supporting perspective. So, a broad range of leagues and clubs there. So, Andrew, how are Ipswich shaping up for the new season? Obviously, an exciting season ahead in the Premier League.
Yeah, I think they're shaping up okay. They lost their first home pre-season friendly on Saturday to Dusseldorf. But, this stage, they're 3 weeks away from the start of the season, so I don't think you can take too much notes of that. But they've signed some exciting-looking players.
And, Billy, how do you think East Fife are going to do in their ventures to stay in the league? Or are you going to fight for promotion?
Yeah, no, I think we'll definitely stay in the league this season. It was a bit touch-and-go around Christmas last season, but we brought in the right manager at the right time, I think, and Dick Campbell, who is an experienced manager. He's 70-year-old now. He got us playing well, he turned us around, and we won, or we were unbeaten in the first 9 matches. So I think he'll take that into the new season, and he'll get us playing really well. And I believe with him as manager, he'll get us up the table and possibly fight for promotion to lead back up to League One.
Optimistic, I like it. And to be honest, I love having a smaller club on the podcast, because East Fife, probably a club that I guess a lot of listeners wouldn't necessarily be familiar with, maybe heard their name or seen their name on Sky Sports news as results come through. But I guess having a bit of insider knowledge for a smaller club is quite exciting. And it doesn't always have to be about the big clubs. So
I think people will be aware of them with the famous East Fife 5-4-5-4.
Yeah, that's what I know them for.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it and not me. Macker, Hibs and Sunderland, we'll take Hibs first. How are they looking under David Gray?
Going into a bit of the unknown, really. I think David Gray is probably the person with the most credit in the bank at Hibs at the moment. I think we could do with a few more signings. The squad's a bit thin, bare, a bit light. Obviously, we had a reasonable League Cup group campaign. Well, obviously, we beat Queen's Park and Elgin and Peterhead, but lost to Kelty Hearts, which ultimately cost us a seed in, going through the group being seeded. So, yeah, we'd hopefully have a good league campaign, push for the top 6, maybe finish in one of the European spots and go far in the Scottish Cup at least.
And quickly on Sunderland.
Sunderland, again, a lot of change there. Regular Bliss is a new manager. Sunderland could really do with signing a striker, although they brought in an experienced campaigner in Alan Brown. Yeah, played okay on Saturday. It was a pre-season friendly with Blackpool. As we record, they've got another two pre-season games left, and then they start with a trip down to Cardiff City for a 12:30 kickoff on the 3rd of August. 10th of August.
10th of August. Right, yeah, so it's Scottish Premiership this week, English Championship the week after, and then the Premier League kicks off on the 17th of August, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Hopefully I've got that right.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
So I'll come to the fixtures this weekend in Scotland. Fixtures to look out for this weekend. There's two on Saturday, which are Hearts versus Rangers and Motherwell versus Ross County. And then on the Sunday, the 4th of August, it's Big Dundee Derby, the Ding Dong Dundee Derby, easy for me to say, is kicking off on Sunday. So Dundee United at home to Dundee. And then St Mirren versus Hibs. And Celtic start off their defence of the title at home to Kilmarnock. And then on Monday night, it's St Johnstone versus Aberdeen as well. So some quite exciting fixtures to start off the campaign. In terms of who's going to go all the way and win it, Macca, do you have any predictions for who's going to lift the title at the end of the season?
Yeah, I'd say it'd be Celtic. Ultimately, Celtic and Rangers, as much as it pains me to say it, always sort of dominate their first and second position in the league. Yes, we'd love to get one of the provincial clubs as close to them too as we can. But you've got to look at Celtic, the pulling power, the money that they have. You know, it just other teams just struggle to compete with it.
Billy.
Being a Celtic fan, I'd have to say Celtic this year, this season again. They're just too good, and they will be, and they'll prove that this season.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the pre-season, they beat Man City and Chelsea in their pre-season. So if that's anything to go by, then I think their fans can be pretty hopeful. Although I do remember, as a Rangers fan, going back a couple of years ago, we did beat Real Madrid in a pre-season game and went on to not have the best season ultimately at the end of that. So I guess pre-season can only count for so much.
Yeah, well, I think as well, in them pre-season games, there was a lot of young players playing for both Manchester City and Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Not taking away the fact that we still won them, but they put out a weak side. So we'll see what happens then. And hopefully they will bring that good form in the pre-season into the league.
Andrew, do you have any idea or preference on who's going to win the Scottish League this year?
I prefer Rangers to win, but I do agree with the other two lads that I think Celtic might be a bit too strong, but you don't know what's going to happen with pre-season results. Don't mean anything, do they, really?
So I did want to move on to a little bit of a quirky story from Scottish football, particularly for our listeners that wouldn't be quite as in touch with Scottish football as the rest of us. And it's not the Rangers Stadium and Rangers kind of Ibrox issues that they're having in Glasgow. Because I think there's going to be loads of time to kind of talk about that over the next few weeks and months. It's something a little bit smaller in terms of teams that are involved. So it's at the weekend there, Motherwell hosted Partick Thistle in the last group stage game of the League Cup, and it finished 0-0. But that doesn't quite tell the full story, because at 0-0 with about 5-10 minutes to play, Partick Thistle wanted to bring on their new striker that they've just signed. Obviously, a group stage game, it was kind of winner goes through, or if there was a draw, then Motherwell would go through. So Partick Thistle kind of chasing the game, chasing the place to get out the group. They wanted to bring on their new striker, and the fourth official, the referee, stopped them from doing so because apparently the player's name wasn't on the team sheet. And obviously Partick Thistle a little bit confused because they entered the team sheet before the game and the striker's name should have been on, but the fourth official had recommended to say that the player wasn't registered for the game, they weren't put in the team sheet, so couldn't come on. And then it subsequently come out that the reason the player wasn't on the team sheet was because the team sheet was screenshotted from a PDF from an app that's now being used to submit team sheets, and some confusions happened, and it's meant that it's cut off the last player on the team sheet. So it goes on numerical order on the team sheet, and the player that was going to come on was last numerically on the team sheet, so he got cut off of the screenshot. Quite a farce, because Partick Thistle rightly feel quite...
Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely, with the situation, because it can cost, I mean, it can be worth £100,000 upwards, depending on, you know, they're looking at a game against Kilmarnock, can they get through again? But actually, they're knocked out of the group stage game. So I just wanted to, I guess, your guys' take on that situation and what can be done. Partick Thistle want a replay. What do you think is best to happen in that situation?
I don't think they'll get the replay because I think it would have to be played next midweek because the next round is in a couple of weeks' time. So it would be really tight, but I think that they should maybe get some of the money that you would get to go for going through, because ultimately £100,000 is huge to these clubs. You know, obviously the clubs, you know, from Celtic and Rangers onwards would love that kind of money. So you know, £100,000 is great, but my personal worry is that there's 20 games taking place over the weekend in the SPL. SPFL at the end of the season, well, like this, the start of the season. How do we know it's not going to happen in any of them? And ultimately, if you make one decision and say, well, you know, we'll give you a replay, then what happens if it happens to, say, my team or Aberdeen or something? Well, are we within our rights to ask for a replay? You've got to set the precedent somewhere along the line, and I do. I think it's a farce. I think Rockets could have handled that app Comet better. They really could. No,
there's the pun. The app is called Comet. It's the new Comet app, apparently. That's the name of it. So there's your Rocket pun for the day. Yeah, Andrew, I guess you weren't familiar with the story, but if it was to happen to Ipswich, if you were to be the, I guess, the victims of an administrative error by the FA, and you lost the game, or you lost a position out of a group, maybe potentially because of it, how would you feel like it should be remedied?
I think you could, like Maka said, you can't really start giving replays because there'll be a problem every week. But
exactly,
who screenshotted the team sheet? Was that someone from the SPFL, or was that someone from Partick Thistle?
Yeah, I'm guessing it was the fourth officials or part of the refereeing team that screenshot it. Yeah.
These things are far too overcomplicated. Whatever happens to just writing down, you know, a 1 to 15 or 1 to 18 or whatever on a sheet like they used to? Yeah. You know, you think someone from the league would check through the app rather than taking someone's word for it.
Well, this is the annoying part, is that so Partick Thistle put their team in. So this, obviously, it was a 3 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. It was on Premier Sports, which doesn't help either, the fact it was on TV and all over the world for people to see. But so Partick put their team in at 1:38, so that's a good hour and 22 minutes before kickoff. So they could have, you know, they could have done something and checked it and double checked it and checked it. Motherwell put their team in at 1:15, so you know, there's plenty of time, and it's just a lack of in confidence, really, you know.
Billy, what are you making of the whole situation? Scottish football in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah, it's comical but farce at the same time, because that thing should never happen in this day and age. But I do remember a game a few years back when I think it was another cup game when a player did come on, and that player wasn't eligible to play that match.
Was it Hibs?
Right? Was that game replayed?
No.
We got thrown out
the competition.
Right, okay. I do also remember a game against Sheffield United. It was different circumstances, but it was a foul when the guy threw it, and we as an Arsenal went up and scored. But we offered to play them the match again, and it was the same outcome. We still won 2-1.
Not sure entirely what's gonna be made of this situation, but as I say, it's Scottish football in a nutshell. And this will be fun doing this podcast this season, because we'll be chopping and changing between looking at the Premier League and all its grand and amazing facilities and even referees, even though I'm sure people that support the Premier League clubs don't agree that the referees are quite as good as, but I think they have the best in the world at everything. It's pretty much best in class. So it's always fun chopping and changing between our little league in Scotland and little things like this that crop up every season. The Dundee pitch last season, this season, the Partick Thistle story already in week one. There's always something going on in Scottish football.
I would urge anyone that's listening who's not in Scotland, especially this weekend more than any weekend, is that obviously because there's no games in England, well, like league games, obviously. If you've got a chance to listen to a Scottish game, obviously they're all available on on the, you know, on the BBC website and stuff, I would tune in. I mean, the game of this, the game of the weekend for me is the Dundee Derby, the Ding Dong Dundee Derby.
Yeah, you know, that's live on Sky at 1:30 on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think it's so good to have that fixture back in the league. And yeah, I think it's brilliant because obviously when you're down south, and I know this from personal point, people always say, ah, Celtic and Rangers. Well, you know, there's more derbies in Scotland than Celtic and Rangers, so it's really good to have another city derby in Scotland. And yeah, I'd encourage it, you know, if you've got a loose end this weekend, tune into Scottish football. And you've even got a game on Monday night with St Johnstone against Aberdeen. And I think it shows that everybody's happy that the season's back. It's because Aberdeen sold out their end at St Johnstone. Hibs have sold out at St Mirren. The Dundee derby sold out. So there's an appetite for football, and I'm just so glad it's back.
Yeah, I guess that'll probably do it for week one as we look ahead at towards the Scottish football fixtures. We'll obviously be back next week to talk about the results and then look ahead to the fixtures coming up in the English Championship and in the Premier League after that as well. So I just wanted to add towards the end that obviously we're always looking for kind of contributors and people to come on the call. If you have a team and you have an opinion on football, you want to share that opinion, you're somebody that listens, or you'd want to get involved in the chat, then please do get in touch with us, I guess, through you could contact myself on neil.atkinson@rnib.org.uk or get in touch with your local community connection or connect mailbox or the radio, etc. And you can try and get involved in the chat. So for now I'll leave it there and thank my guests Andrew, Billy and Macker for chipping in this week.